How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. A lot to talk about. WrestleMania season getting closer and closer. AEW is transforming into a very different company. Very interesting moves the last couple days here. The last couple weeks, last couple months. Their entire roster is changing. We're going to talk about that. Also, two title changes last week. Also, Slammy Awards are back. Everything is heating up. SmackDown review. We'll talk about Collision. But I want to get your thoughts. Send me an X. Is that what you say? An X? Right? That's what it is. Send me an X. Doesn't sound right. At Andrew Zarian, I want to know what you guys are thinking leading up to WrestleMania. I mean, this is a fun time of the year for pro wrestling. A lot of big things happening. Also, I mean, if you really look at it, the post-Vince era, the post-Vince WrestleMania, you know, this is a very different company leading into this. Almost every single TV has been a sellout. They were up to 8 straight sellouts for one of the shows. I forgot if it was Raw or SmackDown. Russell Tick's had it. That's unbelievably impressive. We know how difficult it is to sell tickets. Even at their best, they weren't doing that for, I mean, I can't remember the last time they did this. 20-some-odd years ago that they were doing consecutive sellouts like that. Very interesting stuff. We're going to talk about this and a whole lot more here on Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I want to start off with SmackDown because the last couple of weeks, it's almost been the story of SmackDown where everybody just talks about a promo. And there was some wrestling on here. Interesting, right? That's all people have been talking about when it came to SmackDown. It's just The Rock's promos and nothing else. And yet they've done so much. MJ, you watched live. I watched post. When you were watching SmackDown this week, did it feel differently when people, you know, discussing it on social media?
You know what felt different? And this is an overall like thing about the presentation of WWE lately with post Kevin Dunn production.
Yeah.
Is it felt like more like a sporting event. They're doing these things where they show them coming into the arena as they're coming on the air, and they show, you know, at 12:45 Central time, because they were in Milwaukee, Cody's showing him coming into the venue, like just like they would a sporting event. They do a lot of like football games do that.
It's amazing how
and they show damage control coming in. Yeah,
it's amazing how those little tweaks have changed the overall presentation of both shows. You know, listen, Raw is 3 hours, right? It's a 3 hour show. It could be me as a person. I have great difficulty watching that live, but. Mm-hmm. I'm not as exhausted as I used to be. It's not as fatiguing. And I think it's the little production tweaks that they've done. Same thing for SmackDown. I love that sports feel to it. I mean, even so, they've done that in the past where people are walking, you know, into the building. They're arriving into the arena.
It feels different for some reason.
It just feels different. Yeah. The whole thing. But I thought it was a decent SmackDown. Santos Escobar defeated Rey Mysterio. This is interesting. It looks like they're running it back from last year, right?
Yep.
With Dominic.
Mm-hmm.
Dominic came out and raised masks and caused a distraction. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
It was a good match last year. I have a feeling Dominic will go over, but that's another whole story for a couple weeks from now.
Grayson Waller and Theory defeated the OC. This is to advance in the six-pack challenge for the tag tournament. All right. It was
keep
fine.
In mind, OC is in NXT now, so they're going to be involved in that NXT title, mm-hmm. that tag title picture.
Yeah.
So sure.
Amazing, right? When these guys came in, everyone was like, "Oh, are they going to go to NXT first?" Remember when Gallows and Anderson came in and they just went straight to the roster? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now they're down there. Very cool. Io Sky defeated Naomi. Just casually attacked Bayley before.
That was so weird. It was such a different choice. So they had the whole group come out and then All of a sudden, they Io's music starts and they go to the back and she's just beating the heck out of Bailey.
Yeah.
I guess yeah. to avoid Bailey from coming out, I guess, so they could run a different angle. I don't
know. After this is what I've been fascinated by, okay? This AJ Styles and LA Knight angle. So last week on the show, I wasn't here last week, but last SmackDown, LA Knight cut that promo where he got a lot of criticism on the internet. People were saying, you know, it's so the his influence of The Rock was showing so much more by having The Rock there. And a lot of people don't like it. I don't mind it. I understand he's totally influenced by him, but that's what wrestling is. He's cutting a very pro wrestling-y promo. I don't have a problem with that. Do you feel like it's too shticky? The LA Knight promo?
It's very one note, but it's a note that everybody seems to love.
I like it. I don't
can catch on to. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, listen, everybody has a different and it great example, right? Drew McIntyre. His ability to talk and his ability to do what he's doing, very different approach than LA Knight.
Mm-hmm.
You need that variety. I'm fine with it. But he was using terms, right?
Like he's doing too.
He called him a mark, right? That's something that we haven't seen happen in a very long time on WWE TV.
Yeah.
It's not something that they do.
That goes back to Raw. I know I don't have it down in the notes, but it goes back to Raw and Cody, what he was saying to The Rock. I mean, it's very, they're trying to make it more real and more personal and make it connect better. And I think it does. Adding that little language tweak does. So
Yeah, because I really don't feel like anybody at TKO at Endeavor is, you know, talking about, you know, the no words for these guys.
They're not going to be on the headset in the announcer's ear telling them to, you know, what to say. Those days are pretty much over for the most part. It does feel that
way,
at least.
Wild. Listen, you know, they're the biggest ones, and they will always forever be the biggest ones that do this. That doesn't mean that you can't have a very competitive number two or number three that's appealing to a group of people. Just this is a company that's kind of changing. So you're going to see a little bit stuff like this. And man, you know, we went back to 1999 here with this angle. AJ Styles, they had a brawl at AJ's house with LA Knight. He showed up and then he got arrested.
So they arrested him. Yeah, this felt very much like the way it was shot reminded me a little bit of the Triple H, Randy Orton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Crashed his house. It had that vibe to it. But it was more, it was a little more campy than that.
I mean, yeah, I think because everything is like in high def, you know?
Yeah.
So it always looks a little campy when you do these, like, he's in my house angles, like Pillman's got a gun. Like that, if that was shot in high definition, do you think it would have been that, you know, mythical piece of footage? Probably not.
We would have all just laughed. Said, what was that?
What was that? There you go. Street Profits defeated AOP. They now advance in the tag tournament. Cool. They went about 8.5 minutes. And here's the main event. Roman Reigns and Cody confrontation. What did you think of this?
If you go back to the previous weeks, the promos, and maybe it's The Rock not being there, it just didn't feel as explosive. It felt tense, and that was what they were going for.
Yeah,
it was more, they were just one-on-one. They told each other that they would come alone. They did it eventually, but apparently neither believed the other one, because then, of course, you get first Solo and Jimmy come out, and they just snuck into the crowd behind Cole and McAfee. And then the other side, you get Seth and Jey Uso came out behind Cody, and they were facing off, and that's how they went off the air. It was, you know what, it just sets up more tension. This was kind of to build the night one main event, I think, more than anything.
More than the night two.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of both, but they had those guys come out for a reason.
Yeah, they're really pushing the night one heavily.
I think they need to. Otherwise, you know, because there's going to be a lot of debate whether or not one of these women's matches should headline, which I can't see you doing with The Rock on the show. But
unfortunately, Rock's there and he takes precedence over everything. You know,
I mean, whether or not people like it or not, that's the reality, right? Yeah.
I mean, so the WrestleMania card is pretty, what are we, 13 days away, 14 days away, 17th? Yeah, about 2 weeks,
something like that.
Right? About 2 weeks. This card is, tremendous. There's a lot of matches on this card, and they're adding more. It looks like Rey Mysterio Dominic is going to happen, Damage Control versus Naomi and Bianca possibly happening too. But a lot of moving parts here. Very cool. I mean, it's going to be a great show. I can't imagine it's not going to do tremendous numbers. You have The Rock on night one, and then night two, you have Cody's big moment if that happens.
Hopefully. I think they have to, right?
I mean, if they don't, can you imagine? I mean, they could do anything, but I would imagine they want people going home happy.
Yeah.
I would imagine they want people just
unless they
not
just do
miserable.
Something that blows our minds.
Yeah.
With Roman retaining, which I don't see happening. But
guys, we'll be back right after this here on Sports Byline, Wrestling Observer Live. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's talk about this. I didn't get a chance to talk about the Mercedes Moné debut and where it's headed. It's wild, right? It feels like I spoke so much about this and I realized I had not on this show. Overall, I thought it did exactly what it was going to do. She came out to a new theme, kind of like Gunther's theme, right? Isn't it the Imperium?
Well, it is
theme?
Gunther's theme.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's because it's Beethoven, and so it's public domain, so they can do whatever they want with it. In the end, it's a different song that's just made for you to chant CEO over and over again, and it's worked.
Yeah. You know, a lot of discussion. Should they have announced her for the show instead of letting it, kind of spread on the internet? I don't know. I don't know how much more it could have done. That's something that Tony had to decide to do. I'm hoping this works for them. You know, this is a nice piece to that puzzle that they're trying to complete this year. A lot of changes in this company from the company that we started watching in 2019. Mercedes is there to lead the women's division. They've made some tremendous acquisitions between between Mercedes, Deanna. Well, Renee too. Renee's a great piece of the puzzle there. Their women's division has been growing with tremendous talent. And then you look on the men's side, you got Okada, arguably, I mean, on that top tier of best of the best ever. You got Will Ospreay, someone that could potentially be considered the best of all time. In-ring, right? I'm talking in-ring. Everything else is subjective. Plus, you got MJF out with an injury. He's going to come back. You got Adam Cole coming back from injury. Kenny Omega hopefully soon coming back from injury. All these guys. Can anybody hear John in my ear? No, nobody can hear. So John asked me if Mercedes is the biggest star there. I mean, that's a great question. This, is she the most recognizable?
That might be the word, right?
That might be the word. Is she the most recognizable to a casual wrestling audience? Quite possibly.
Can I just interject one thing here?
Yeah.
As far as her debut and how they did it, I think it proves that there's only one CM Punk, and that kind of debut will never work for anyone else the same way it did for him.
Well, I mean, look at the variable here, right? Like, and this is no shade at Mercedes. Like, Mercedes is not CM Punk.
No,
Mercedes was actively wrestling for majority of this time until she got hurt, until she left WWE and then got hurt when she came back.
Yeah, she was gone 10 months, not 7 years.
Punk was gone 7 years, and the way that he left and the story behind him leaving and the lawsuit, there was so much there where I think people realistically thought he would never wrestle again. There were many people that thought that. Especially when AEW started. And he didn't go there the first year. And you were one of those people. Yeah, you, I don't think a lot of... there was a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But the anticipation for him was there. And you know what? He could do it again. If he, for some weird way, he ended up going there, he would still sell it out. Very different level of star power. Mm-hmm. But I think this is great for AEW. So I brought up a Collision when I started the show. That's because I absolutely love the Danielson and Shibata match from last week. Those guys beat the crap out of each other. I mean, unbelievable matches that only 400,000 people are seeing. That's a shame.
And it's just mostly wrestling on that show.
It's mostly
good,
wrestling.
Solid,
yeah.
And I think I've said this to you before on here, but it does have that Saturday night's main event feel, or not main event, but WCW Saturday night, where they just go, and we're going to have these two, and then they go out there and put on this fantastic match, you know, back then. That's what it reminds me of a lot. And that was a fantastic match.
I mean, this coming week on Dynamite, we're going to talk about what happened on Dynamite after this, but this coming week, you have Will Ospreay and Shibata. Swerve and Takeshita. Young Bucks and Private Party. I mean, the great card, and they're announcing matches. Look at this. They're announcing some matches. Let's talk about this show. Let's talk about Collision. I thought it was a very good show. They were in Canada. Adam Copeland, Christian Cage, main event. They beat the crap out of each other. What did you think
Rampage
of the match? Dynamite. I'm sorry. What did I say? Collision.
Dynamite
so
slash Rampage.
Dynamite slash Rampage. Collision. I don't know. I'd have no idea why I said Collision. Dynamite Rampage. I thought it was great. These two put on a match that they would have wanted to ever put on. They beat the crap out of each other. They had a wacky ending, you know? I thought it was great. But the big story here also from this show, Okada won the Continental title. He pinned Eddie Kingston to become the second champion. This guy is such a star. But what do they do now? But what do you do now? You know, that's my question. What do you do? So he has this title. Awesome. Where are we going? I want to see it.
He's going to hold it, defend it, until we start building these programs. Obviously, at Hangman Page is there, based on how they brought him in. And the big one, I think we're hopefully going to see maybe All In with Omega's ready by then. Because that's the one I think a lot of pure wrestling fans want to revisit.
Omega and Okada. Well, I mean, listen, with the injuries, you kind of want to do that, right? By the way, here are the rules for this title. There's a lot of confusion over this. The champion will get an automatic bid into the Continental Classic Tournament each year after Full Gear. The title will be on the line during the tournament. The champion will still defend throughout the year. Continental title rules will still remain in place where it's no interference and nobody's allowed at ringside. I mean, that rule should be for every single match, you know, other than,
I mean,
like, that's like a standard for most matches. I guess the no ringside is the only thing.
Yeah, all it is all he's really saying, if you go back to wrestling from another time, you go back to, it's just saying, I'm not acknowledging your manager's license for these matches.
That's all it's saying.
That's essentially what they're saying. Yeah. So if you have a manager's license, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So you can sit next to your boss in Gorilla and call and produce the match like the Bucks did for Okada the other day.
Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to see who his next opponents are. You know, like there's such a laundry list of people that you want Okada to wrestle, and now the question is, when do you put the big title on him? Because that's really gonna intervene in some of these plans, you know, for a lot of talent.
Right.
You know, if Okada's there, what happens to an MJF title run? What happens to possibly Swerve's future title run, or Joe, or whoever else. You know, it's interesting. I think it's going to only elevate everybody else to perform at a higher level when you guys got guys like this. People were bummed out that he dropped that title soon, you know, as soon as he did. But, yeah. You know, listen, you have Okada there. Sometimes things happen.
Can I offer up one more thing for you from Dynamite?
Yeah.
And you kind of mentioned it already, but Will Ospreay, his promo style, I think it's infectious, and he's slowly but surely becoming one of my favorites. From just an overall character, not just an in-ring performer, but the way he delivers those promos.
And
he's
as a baby face.
As a huge baby face. And here he is. He's supposedly in a heel stable. Obviously, I think that we know where that's going to go eventually. But I got to tell you, man, I am very impressed with Will Ospreay.
How old is he?
Just how he's 30-something.
How old is he? Let's see. Yeah, he's 30 years old.
As we both.
He's turning 31. Oh, he's born in 93. Right. You know. Okay. 10 years ago, we were talking about Will Ospreay. And the story was, if he is able to change his style slightly, he could become one of the biggest names ever.
He was skinny back then, right?
He was thinner, he was way thinner.
He's bulked up a little bit, and yeah.
Listen, he was a 20-year-old kid back then. He's 6'1", he weighs about 230. He's a big guy, and you know what? Unbelievable talent. What a wrestler. The fact that he's gotten over now with his promos, great. A shot in the arm for AEW. I'm telling you, if they do it right, they built another MJF.
And I believe he's doing this all while commuting from England every week.
Is he really?
I don't think he's living in the States. Yeah, I think he's commuting. At least he said on Twitter once. So, yeah.
I can't imagine he's going to want to continue doing that. That's pretty difficult.
I can see having a second home here. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Someplace.
Yeah. I want to touch on some of the stuff that's happening in AEW in the next segment, by the way. Also, I want to go into some of the comments that Ronda Rousey made regarding WWE and Vince McMahon. Very telling on why she got the hell out of there. I don't think people knew that she was that angry with that company. There were rumblings. But, I mean, she's laying it all out. I want to read that book. I want to get that book because it looks very interesting. Going to a quick break here. We'll be back after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. You know, we were talking about changes in WWE. And this is a positive change. Shayna Baszler will be facing Masha Slamovich on April 4th at Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. Josh apparently asked Triple H personally for this, and he got granted this. That means a contracted talent from both TNA and WWE will be facing each other in a GCW ring. What a wacky... I mean, if you ever wanted more evidence that Vince is no longer running this thing, this is it, right?
Definitely. I will add that he said that he had plenty of Josh Barnett, this is, used all his relationships he's built up over the years to kind of throw this out there. And I know the original story said there may be more. I don't know if there will be.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. So, well, there's AEW talent on this show also.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is quite the departure from the exclusivity that Vince demanded, really.
You know, you got to look at it this way too, right? Where's the negative here?
I don't think there is one for me, you know.
You know, where's the negative for who? Who is this a negative for? It's a very unique concept, right? Very unique concept. It's an attraction. If you could give your talent, you know, this little pop to that, they're like, wow, look what they're doing. They're participating in this. It's only good for marketing wise for your talent. It's great for them. It's good for you because you're seeing, like, you know, you're reaching out to a very disenfranchised viewer and you're inviting them back by doing this.
Yeah, by doing that. So here's an here's one that would make how would you feel if it wasn't Masha Slamovich and it was contracted talent from AEW, Marina Shafir?
I mean, that'd be fantastic.
That
too. Change
things. That
would be great,
you know,
too.
Would, I think that would get way more buzz. But this is good. This is like a first step in,
yeah,
into crossover. You know, and they're doing more of this. They've been willing to work with New Japan when they had that Carl Anderson contract, right? They had to let him fulfill his contract. So, yeah.
Yeah, very cool stuff. But here's the other part, okay? Independent contract laws are changing. California made major changes to it a couple years ago. These guys are technically not independent contractors. They're told what to do. They're told how to talk. They're told how to dress. They're told how to do all that stuff. You know, this is a way to say, if there's ever a moment, hey, look, they could work other places. It just so happened that a couple of weeks ago or, you know, a couple of years ago, we did this. So there's a positive for them as a company also by doing that. Very cool, though. I mean, I want to see more of this, and we should get more of this.
It also, again, going back to the narrative that Vince isn't in charge anymore,
yeah,
it also takes away it invites the friendliness, you know, hey, we're willing to work with people. We're not just going to hang up the phone on you if you try to call. Because
yeah.
I think that's what I think a lot of people probably felt like working with, trying to get stuff like this across with Vince. Because Vince was going to always take the angle of what's in it for me, you know, type thing. Where I think there seems to be a general feel to try to make this the best thing for the people watching it.
Yeah. Very interesting. Looking forward to it. So I want to talk about Ronda. This is fascinating. Ronda put out a new book and a lot of her WWE run is in this book. I need to get my hands on it. This is just some notes from this book. She referred to Vince as Senator Palpatine. Yeah, these are just... She referred to Vince as Senator Palpatine from Star Wars. She said that Triple H is one of the better people in the business side. Interesting. She talked about going to Saudi Arabia and how Vince would like women to be treated like they're treated over there. You got to dump that. She said it was an S show.
It was...
And she would never go back there, which I'm very shocked. I'm shocked by that. I'm shocked that she had the experience that she did. Because generally, you know, she came in as a celebrity and they're treated very well.
Yeah, well, the problem was they made her like everyone else. She started doing house shows and she started working with tours. And she drew at first. But then I think it just got old, and I think when it started to turn is when she started to turn heel on the crowd, when she wasn't supposed to be a heel.
I don't know. She came in, I thought it was refreshing the way that she was wrestling. She wasn't wrestling like everybody else. She didn't have the, you know, the she came in as Ronda Rousey.
Judo.
Then all of a sudden, you're right, she became more and more WWE-ified. And the special thing left. I'm curious when the turn happened here, because she also took shots at Bruce Pritchard. Does not
She's
like
been
him.
She did that. She did that on Twitter, but it on was Twitter also a line in her book too. Yeah. Yes.
And the fact that she said that she would never go back there is shocking to me. And I don't know if she would go to AEW. I don't know. I mean, she did that thing with Ring of Honor. And that was a strange thing that they did. It was just out of nowhere. I know it was a favor.
Yeah,
it was a favor.
Kinda,
I get
I think,
it.
To help. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and that came out of nowhere. I don't know. Maybe her wrestling days are done. Maybe she'll never wrestle again. But I'm curious, you know what? With Vince being gone and let's say Bruce is gone and that, you know, that whole guard has changed over there. I'm positive if they would, if they asked her, it would be a different conversation with the changes that have happened.
And also remember, and she did say in those excerpts I did read that she loves Dana White, and remember that he's still involved in TKO. So
yeah,
you know. I mean, obviously she could do something, but yeah, it doesn't sound like it ended well at all.
Yeah. Roman Reigns was on the Pat McAfee show on Friday. He mostly talked about Paul Heyman going into the Hall of Fame and how he's like a performance enhancer to whoever he works with. I mean, Paul is one of the greatest stories here, right? He started as a kid photographer. His dad would bring him to the Garden. He would push everybody, take photos, and he would sell it to WWE. So he's been there. I mean, Vince probably knew him as a child. It's crazy. And he became one of the greatest 45 managers.
Years.
Yeah, he became one of the greatest managers of all time in that company. Started a tremendous promotion that people still chant ECW after all these years.
Fun fact.
Yes.
I really wanted a cell phone after I saw him with that brick
phone. You wanted the brick phone?
I want one of those. The old brick phone. How cool.
You know what's wild? Like, I was a kid, right, when he was doing that gimmick. 1992, 1991, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I remember it standing out. I remember the steel cage match where, was it Rick Rude in there? Where they threw his phone in.
Yeah.
I think it was. Like, that stands out to me, seeing
the heart of the Dangerous Alliance, right?
Yeah. Very cool stuff. But he also said on the show that he's still young and he has years left. This man just hit
13.
At least 10? Is that what he said?
Yeah. So he's not going anywhere. I think people think he's going to take some time off after, which he probably will.
Listen, he should. He could do something else, you know, and then refresh everything. But 1,300 days he hit, I think today, as world champion. That's unbelievable. And whether or not he retains, if he retains, he has to break Hogan's record at that point, right? Is that what happens?
Yeah, and that would take him into like next September.
That would take him into
September.
Right. What is it? 1,400, right? It's like 14 something.
14 and some change. I would have to look it up.
So he's going to be short if he, you know. I think the bigger story, he has to drop it to Cody because it would be terrible for him.
They've been telling the story for 2 years now, so yeah.
It's unbelievable. Sense. You know, we're talking back to the pandemic era for Roman getting the title, right?
He came back at SummerSlam 2020, right?
Was it?
Just moved into the Thunderdome. Yep.
Yeah.
It just moved into the Thunderdome. We were still doing watch-alongs back then.
Yeah.
And,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I know. Don't get you started. But
yeah. I mean, this guy's saying he has years left. I mean, that's great for them. That'll maybe put some rumors to rest that he's going to go do his acting thing.
One other thing on that too. Yeah. McAfee asked him about who should induct Heyman. And McAfee's suggestion was Heyman should just induct himself.
Who should induct them? That's a good question.
It is a good question. There's so many people that have, you know, it's weird. It probably be the best, but they're kind of obligated to someone from the ECW era.
It would have to be, but who would be able to do, you know, to do it right? You want to get the Sandman up there?
I don't think so. obviously, your Bubba Ray.
Maybe Bubba could
Bully
do it.
Ray.
Yeah.
He may be the best one. But he's works with other companies too, so I don't know. Well, we just talked about that, so maybe they would be all right.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I mean, he's one of the greatest promoters, right, for himself. His promotion failed, but he promoted himself to being, I mean, just a legendary piece in wrestling.
He was on TV the week of him basically selling his show, his promotion. He was on TV with WWE the very next day or something like that. Yeah. If you remember that.
Well, it hadn't folded yet.
Yeah.
Tommy Dreamer had officially done it. Yeah.
Yeah. He hadn't officially told people. And he told them, and then he immediately is on TV, and then the next day it folds. It's like
wild. And he wore the ECW hat.
Mm.
That's the most wild part of it. He wore the ECW hat. Very cool. I mean, that Hall of Fame, I think there's one more inductee, right? The Rock's grandmother's going to be probably announced.
Yeah.
That's the last one.
They had it exclusive on the website on Figure Four. They had it exclusively on it. So, yeah, that's coming.
All right. And that's done. And then the Slammies are back too. Cool.
Actually, I'm guessing Rock is going to be on Raw Monday.
Yeah,
I bet you one of the things he does, other than promote his match, it will be to talk about his grandmother. Yeah.
Final segment we'll go into. We'll talk about a couple more things on the show. I want to touch on a couple more things here. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final few minutes of the show. Little Raw preview for tomorrow. CM Punk appears. Isn't Dwayne on the April 1st show? The Rock's on April 1st. Okay, so listen, that's a big two back-to-backs. That's great.
I had to correct myself from last segment, but yes. It's not tomorrow. It's the following Monday.
Following Monday. Jey Uso, Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, Bronson Reed, Ricochet, JD McDonagh, Andrade, Ivar, Ivy Nile, and Candice LeRae. It's a lot of matches announced.
So different from before, right?
So different than before.
Where they're announcing matches instead of going in with not even knowing.
Yeah.
The first segment.
You gotta know what you're showing up to. You know what? CM Punk appearance, that's big. They'll move tickets for that. People will tune in for that. He's also making tremendous progress, by the way. CM Punk is making great progress. He is so hyper-motivated to return back. Very disappointing. He comes back, he's ready, and then boom, done again. Also, Jade is going to SmackDown this week. So we got an answer there.
She'll be there Friday.
Yep. Yeah, she'll be there on Friday. Was that the only one in limbo still from the recent roster? Yeah, that's the only one, right?
I believe so. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the only one.
We have
a
better picture of where people are going to be.
Yep. Yep. Guys, this was a blast.
I'm wondering. Oh, sorry. Go ahead and close it up.
Thank you. Yeah, I can close it out. This was a blast hanging out with you guys. Next week, we're going to be back. More about on the road to WrestleMania and everything else happening in AEW. We'll see y'all next time. Take care.